So, Mike, happy post-Thanksgiving. How are you, Paul?
It's been a while, Paul. I hope you had a good holiday. And for our listeners out there, I know the last episode was a month ago when we were at Show East right before Paul got sick, which impeded a couple of recordings that we had scheduled. And then we did this fantastic episode pre-Thanksgiving, and we had technical issues, so that's now in the vault, one day to come out as the Unheard Ticket to Ride podcast.
And that was a very sick episode, I gotta say, but nobody got to, it's the lost episode, and by sick, I had a wicked cold like so many people have had, but I'm over it, and Mike brought me chicken soup to the house, you know.
It was all my pleasure. I had to make sure that my podcast partner, you know, got well, and we were able to be where we are today. But the good news is, Paul, we get to talk about a fantastic Thanksgiving weekend.
You know, it really was, and it wasn't characterized that way by many because of one film, which we'll get to, that definitely underperformed. There's no way to sugarcoat it, but if you are a moviegoer right now as you're listening to Ticket to Ride, go get your local listings because this is a fantastic time to be a moviegoer, Mike. I mean, look at what's out there right now. Hunger Games and Trolls, Wish, which we'll get to.
Well, I mean,
Napoleon.
As you like to say, there's something for everybody, and this was truly a something for everybody kind of weekend. And, you know, I think we should probably start with Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. And it opened up, opening weekend was right around $44 million. And I know there were people that were saying, oh, that's a bit of a disappointment following in the footsteps of the Marvels. I keep saying Captain Marvel, but the Marvels. And, yeah. You know, side note on the Marvels, do you realize, Paul, that is the first Marvel Cinematic Universe movie that will not get to $100 million
of
gross.
Oh, I know that. Again, a Disney, bit of a Disney disappointment there, and we'll get to Wish in a minute, but Hunger Games dropped like 35% second weekend.
It was the best hold of all the Hunger Game movies yet. And it just goes to show you that this time of year is definitely a marathon, not a sprint. Just like we talked about last year with Avatar, you can't sit there and draw conclusions based on the opening weekend. And part of that, we'll get to Wish in a second. I'm not ready to stick a fork in Wish just yet either.
yeah.
But I think that, Hunger Games is going to, after the opening weekend, you know, estimated Cume was probably right around $120 million. I think now it's going to be $150 plus when it's all said and done.
And Mike, not an original cast member in there. I mean, this is how you perfectly reboot, and it's not really it's a prequel.
Launching a new series within the universe of Hunger Games.
Yeah, and it really worked. And I think for the, you know, when we look at the sheer numbers, you know, Mike, in our ComScore data, if you go back to 2019 and before that, we would see for the 5-day Thanksgiving frame domestically, 200 million, 220, 260 for all films for the 5 days. We haven't seen that in a while, but you know what? It is a great time to be a moviegoer. It's just that the marketplace has changed. We wound up this 5-day frame Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving through Sunday, 173.1 million. Last year for the same Thanksgiving frame in 2022, 122.8 million. So we're up 51 million from last year's Thanksgiving frame. 21 was 142.7 million. And then 2020, Mike, for the 5 days, 21.4 million for 5 days. Okay, but get this. The biggest Thanksgiving all-time frame was in 2018, 315.6 million for the 5 days. This year, we're at 173.1, but like so many people say, comparing to 2019 and before, it's a different universe now, but I think to be at 173, if that's the new normal, and we're getting pushing in closer to 200 mil, it's not so much about the number, it's about the depth and breadth of titles. We're heading into December. The year-to-date's at 8.2 million, Mike. We're going to get to 9 billion. I said it in our lost episode, but I really feel it now. I mean, we're about $755 million away from $9 billion domestically, we have a lot of big movies on the way. Thankfully, Warner Brothers is all in on December with the Wonka, Aquaman, and The Color Purple.
You're not wrong on that. And I think, we're digressing a little bit, but even if you look at this coming weekend, the December 1 weekend, pre-pandemic, the weekend after Thanksgiving was, talk about a lost weekend. There were usually no new wide releases. You were talking about, minimal box office. It was all about the holdover films. And, we have four wide releases this week, led by, we have Beyonce, we have Godzilla Minus One, we have Silent Night from our friends at Lionsgate. A24 is expanding Dreamscape. So there are so many movies that are going to be in the marketplace this weekend that, the first is no longer kind of that dead man walking weekend that it used to be.
It's not a dead zone. And if you look at the titles, I'm just going to run down some of these really quick. I mean, just the titles that are in the marketplace right now, talking about that something for everyone. I mean, Hunger Games, Napoleon. We'll get to Napoleon. We have to talk about Napoleon, Wish, Trolls Band Together, Thanksgiving, The Marvels, The Holdovers, Saltburn. You mentioned Dream Scenario. That one is getting a lot of attention. The Holdovers, Priscilla. So many movies out there, Mike. I mean, and of course, Maestro, which I cannot wait to see in a theater. It's a limited theatrical run. It's a Netflix film. But I think that's one that's at the top of my list. So again, and look at all the biopics that are obviously in contention for Oscar. We're in Oscar season now, Mike, believe it or not. But if you look at Napoleon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Barbie. Wait, Barbie isn't a real person. but we're talking, and I'm tongue-in-cheek. But the fact that these great performances, and I think being really spotlighted right now because the actors are, back at work and the writers. And it's interesting that so many movies that are up for Oscar right now are movies that opened recently. The Holdovers, I think, could be an Oscar contender as well. Paul Giamatti. So it's a really cool time to be a moviegoer.
Well, and, you look at, I'm glad you brought up, let's continue to talk about the top grossing films this past weekend. Napoleon came in, was on the higher end of expectations. Let's back up. I'm jumping ahead. So Hunger Games comes in at $29 million for three, almost at $100 million for the 10 days that it was out. So you're looking at $98.6 million through the weekend. That is incredible. So a great hold there. Napoleon comes in on the higher end of the expectation. So for 5 days, it's almost 33. It's at 32.75. And then let's talk about the one that everybody's kind of zeroing in on, and that is Wish. Now, coming up off of Strange World last year, I think Wish... I know people had that thing, closer to 40 to 45 million for the 5 days. It ended up at 31.6. I think the one thing, Paul, that we haven't seen post-pandemic that, this weekend kind of, had, it was the first time I can remember we had two high-profile family films that were early in their runs, both in the marketplace at the same time.
And why, Mike? Because, look, everyone knew that Trolls Band Together was going to open on the 17th. And then Disney puts Wish on the, which has been traditional for Disney really to dominate Thanksgiving. And I think they just ran into a family marketplace that already knew what Trolls is or what, And so there was that great brand identification and people love Trolls, super fun. And then Wish, I don't know if a lot of moviegoers knew what it was. And at 31.6 million, Mike, get this. I mean, the very first Pixar movie, Toy Story, opened on the same day, 11/22/95, 28 years ago, to $39 million, unadjusted for inflation. So, they set the bar pretty high with Toy Story all those years ago. So there's no denying this number is lower than what they expected. But this is going to be a really good holiday corridor where families want to go out. They've seen Trolls. They go see Wish. And Wish will wind up on Disney Plus, of course. So it ain't over for Wish.
No, but what I would say too, Paul, is you need to take the combined gross over the 5 days of both Trolls and Wish And, you know, what do you come up with? A very healthy number of box office for the weekend.
And yeah, but I don't think they wanted to share, Mike.
Well, you know, I hate to say it like this. If they didn't want to share, they shouldn't have been on top of each other. Is what it comes down to.
And, you know, that's true.
That is, you know, unfortunately, that's just something that, you know, is in the marketplace. And as I said earlier, I don't think I recall seeing this post-pandemic where we've had two high-profile family films opening up 5 days apart from each other. And I think...
And Mike, you know, and you're right. Sorry to interrupt you, but if you look at the top three films this weekend, Hunger Games, Napoleon, and Wish, in a normal world, it'd be Wish, Hunger Games, Napoleon, or Wish, Napoleon, Hunger Games. It just, the whole world has been flipped on its ear, turned upside down, and audiences came out for an epic historical drama. Wait a second, they did that for Oppenheimer too.
Yep.
And to have a Hunger Games hold on like this, I mean, even when Disney put Wish on this date, I don't think they would have imagined that Hunger Games, I bet they didn't anticipate it would hold the way it did. And so Hunger Games put a hurt on everybody, and I think, and it's not competing directly with Napoleon, not even really with Wish, but you make a great point, Mike. When you put two family films right on top of each other, somebody's going to get hurt, at least in that first week or two. I think Wish can gain some ground as families say, hey, we saw Trolls, kids, what do you want to go see now? Oh, wait, there's a other brand new animated film out there.
You know, it goes back to something we've seen over and over again, and this is just the cycle of movies. What was the last pure kind of family animated movie that entered the marketplace? It was, you know, you got to go all the way back to Elemental in June, because since then you had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but you could argue that that was not in the same vein as an Elemental or a Trolls. And then you had Paw Patrol, the Mighty movie, which actually did really well. Yeah. But again, targeting, you know, what I would call the handholders, you know, not necessarily a broad family film. And now you're looking at two broad family films that come out right on top of each other. And we have a third one that's waiting in the wings with Migration. So, you know, right, unfortunately, the schedule condensed where these family films are, trying to, of course, take advantage of the, you know, the season where kids are out of school, parents are looking to take kids to the movies. But, you know, you've got to look from a release schedule standpoint and just wonder, would we have been, as an industry, if some of this had been spread out a little bit more? Would that have helped?
But I think it would have. But, Mike, I'm glad you brought up Elemental, because much like Wish, you know, Elemental opened back in mid-June to $29.6 million. Guess what? It wound up with a 5.22 multiple at $154.4 domestic, $479.8 million worldwide. So never count anything out. That's a great example of a film that was written off really in its first 3 days and just kept playing playing and did quite well.
And that will be one of those things, Paul, that, you know, we'll keep an eye on and see where it goes. Did it open to the levels that, you know, Disney was hoping? No. You know, where does it end up netting out? You know, will be interesting to see. Will Disney look at it as, or people look at it as, you know, it was an underperformer? Probably. There's so many factors that go into is.
The audience is telling every studio something. And I think for Disney, coming off of the Marvels and now Wish, and Bob Iger has very publicly gone out there and said, look, we have to readjust, realign, reinvent, whatever. I mean, I'm kind of paraphrasing. And I think they need to. And I think the ultimate arbiter of what the industry should do moving forward is the audience. They tell you they want more Hunger Games, or they love this Hunger Games.
Yep.
They were lukewarm on other sure bets this year. Five Nights at Freddy's kills. I keep pointing to Five Nights at Freddy's because for me, that wasn't even on my radar until the opening weekend, and that's a huge hit. So the audience is really giving a lot of free, if you will. Well, it ain't free, but data market research that studios, excuse me, that studios can use to reinvent themselves if they have to. This is not the years of Thanksgiving's at $250 million, Mike, every year.
Well,
this isn't where the 5 day is dominated by a Disney animated film. The audience tastes are changing.
Well,
and studios are going to have to pay attention.
What I would say, though, Paul, is if we add together the 5 day totals on Wish and on Trolls, we're looking at about $57 million, which is probably more in line with what we would think a family animated movie over this corridor
true.
Would do. So,
yep.
To what you said earlier is probably true, is they ended up, you know, splitting some of the gross. You know, Trolls was off 41% from its opening weekend, which is something you normally wouldn't expect over a holiday frame from an animated film. So they both kind of hurt each other. And I think one other thing we should talk about Trolls real fast that, you know, should be pointed out. And that was the last Trolls World Tour, if you remember, was the first real victim of the pandemic. That was a movie that was scheduled to go out in April of 2020. Comcast had already been down the road with their advertising. The movie had to end up going direct to PVOD. They did it, you know, they were that first film that, you know, decided to skip theatrical. And a lot of people were wondering, would that have a long-term impact on the franchise itself? You know, does that take the theatricality out of the franchise? You know, it doesn't appear that it's had any, you know, adverse effect on it. But what does feel like it's had an adverse effect is going head to head with another high profile family film.
Absolutely.
So I think, you know, both movies definitely were impacted. And I think the story probably is a little bit more about the head to head and less about, you know, why did Wish, you know, Wish wasn't the movie it should have been and it underperformed.
Yeah, and we have to be honest about that here on Ticket to Ride. And we're gonna wrap up here in a few minutes. We're making this up. We're gonna see if our audience likes these little bit shorter audio podcasts that we're doing. And this was a great one, Mike, because by having to wait a while, we got to actually recap Thanksgiving, which was so talked about with you know, the press was all over this Thanksgiving frame. But I think it's really encouraging heading into December that we have such a great number of titles, such a depth and breadth of titles. And I'm excited to see what December brings. Again, we're closing in on $9 billion. So we'll have to do a year end wrap up show, Mike. That should be on the horizon for us.
Yeah, I think, you know, to me, the next big, you know, kind of marker along the line is going to be on the December 15th weekend when we see what happens with Wonka. As we, you know, kind of, you know, kick off the Christmas season at that point, you know, that to me is going to be the next kind of, you know, litmus test of where we are. I think if you look at the holiday season this year from a just pure moviegoer type of, you know, smorgasbord, so to speak, it's a little lighter than usual, I think, from, you know, where people are looking at. It'll be interesting to see what emerges as the big film for the weekend. But I was talking with I was just talking with a couple of key exhibitors last week, and they definitely were looking at Christmas to see which movie is going to emerge. There was nothing like Avatar that's on their radar right now, and they're all wondering, you know, there will be that movie. And,
yeah.
You know, is Wonka going to be the one that's going to walk the distance? We're going to have to see.
Well, Mike, you set it up perfectly. So December 15, Wonka, December 22, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, Migration, Anyone But You and the Iron Claw. That's all on December 22. Monday, Christmas Day, The Color Purple, The Boys in the Boat, directed by George Clooney, Ferrari, directed by Michael Mann, Color Purple, directed by Blitz Bazwooly. I met him actually at CinemaCon. What a great guy. Blitz, I apologize if I'm mispronouncing the director's last name, but you have the Iron Claw on that Friday, and then Color Purple, Boys in the Boat, Ferrari, all on Christmas Day.
So we'll see where it all kind of shakes out over the next couple of weeks. It'll be fascinating to watch. And, you know, really going to be interested to see, you know, where movies like Hunger Games, Trolls, and Wish, how they leg out over the next 3 weeks.
And it's a very important period at the box office, and we'll be bringing it to you on Ticket to Ride with my co-host, Mike Polydoras, president of Paper Airplane Media, and I'm Paul Garabedian, senior media analyst for ComScore. We appreciate you listening, bearing with us. It's been a month. You know, absence makes the heart grow fonder, I hope, Mike.
We'll be back in a couple of weeks.
We'll see you then.
Take care.
Thanks, Mike.
Take care.
Bye. She's got a ticket to ride, but she don't.